You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Luke Elder, James Millman and Paddy Aspel in the studio. Good day to look forward to as well. It's day two of the July Festival at Newmarket, including the Falmouth Stakes on their card. We've also got good racing at York, Ascot and Musselburgh alongside that in the afternoon. And it's Chepstow and Chester in the evening. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by Andrew Mounts. How are you, Andrew?
I'm pretty good, thanks. Mark, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Great to see the first day of the July meeting at Newmarket get underway nicely. And
we've got some proper fast ground as well, rare for a flat meeting this summer.
It is, yeah. Thankfully, the rain has stayed away for once. We've got that to look back on before we get stuck into Friday's action. We've also got to have a look at some of the action at York as well in a little while. But looking back on day one, we'll just have a quick chat about some of the big results. And one that catches my eye there is Big Orange winning the Princess of Wales Stakes for a second year running when relatively unfancied in the betting.
That's right. I had a touch on this horse last year, backing it at 50-1 in the morning, SP25s, and duly made all under Jamie Spencer. And the pace angle came out on top again. I tipped it up when we were in the studio. 8-1 this time, and made all this time under James McDonald. Spencer was riding the Grey Gatsby.
Yeah, he picked the wrong one.
That's right. Well, what surprised me about this was Spencer, having ridden it last year and made the running, would surely have been aware to those tactics on Big Orange and the danger of letting him get a soft lead. And they raced him one single line down the centre of the track, suggesting they hadn't gone particularly quick. And say Big Orange had enough in reserve to hold off the Grey Gatsby by about 2.5 lengths. Because James McDonald, the Australian jockey, could well be in line for the ride in the Melbourne Cup later this year. Big Orange was fifth in that race last year, earning over £90,000 in prize money for that effort. And, unless Godolphin have got something for him to ride, perhaps he'll be on that one.
Yeah. What do you think Spencer was thinking in second there? Do you just think he expected the Grey Gatsby still to pick him up? He's a classy horse, isn't he?
I mean, he did take a little while to sort of find a gap and then make his run. I mean, he's picked up 20 odd grand for second place prize money, taking his earnings to over 1.3 million, so you can hardly describe him as disappointed. And this was actually his first run below Group or Grade 1 company since May 2014 when winning at York. So he's been a fantastic servant and obviously got a stud career ahead of him as well, potentially.
Yeah.
But I think Spencer may be thinking, why didn't I sit a little bit closer to the sole frontrunner? Yeah. And that's the fourth year in a row now that the winner of that race has made all the running.
Really? Put that in your notebooks for next year then. Talk about the July Stakes as well. Maymass is a horse I've got a lot of time for. I've backed him on a number of occasions this season, and he's won that pretty nicely in the end, the July Stakes. They're getting the better of Intelligence Cross and Broken Stones. Adad was the disappointment of the race.
That's right, yeah. Maymass won his first two starts and then was badly drawn in the National Stakes at Sandown in stall 6. And the winner came from stall 2 that day, and he bounced back at Royal Ascot with an excellent second to Caravaggio, who looks particularly impressive. And again, he wasn't best drawn at Ascot, and back on a level playing field today, he's come through and won nicely. I was quite impressed with Broken Stones as well, because the third home for Kevin Ryan, that was only his second career start, so he's far less experienced than the winner, and indeed had less experience than Intelligent Cross, the runner-up. Broken Stones made his debut at York, and Kevin Ryan tends to run his best juveniles at that track, and had you bet clear favourites trained by Kevin Ryan on their two-year-old debuts at York, he'd have won 5 times from 6 bets. And of the previous winners, a couple of those turned out to be Group Class Wee Dud and Hot Streak.
Yeah.
So I think Broken Stones has a listed or group race in him later this season.
Right, interesting stuff. On the back of that, by the way, Maymass's victory there, we shortened Caravaggio for the Guineas next year. He's now 4-1.
Right.
That form's obviously been boosted. So Caravaggio's form getting a boost, and he's shortened up a little bit there. the Bahrain Trophy as well, the first race on the card, Houses of Parliament, kicking off the meeting with a winner for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. This was a bit of a drop in class for him, and it's paid off, really.
That's right, and clearly relished the step up and trip to a mile five. Had only won a Dundalk Maiden from his previous six runs, was 0-5 on turf, but yeah, the step up from a mile and a half after meeting with trouble and keeping on strongly into fourth at Ascot behind Across the Stars has clearly benefited him, as has the drop from Group 2 to Group 3 company.
And we'll mention the Heritage Handicap on the card as well. Looked 9 impossible before the race, but I spoke to Kevin O'Malley, your pal, yesterday, and he tipped up Dancing Star. It's a filly I know he's got a lot. I know he likes quite a lot.
Yeah, only a fool would nap in this race, but I did, and as did Kevin and Sam Turner, and those two came out with the 7-1 winner, Dancing Star, whereas I was on Venturous, who finished mid-division after being denied a clear run. I thought the winner would come from a low draw, which was the case, although they didn't explore all parts of the track. They tended to race in one big group down the centre. I'm surprised nobody's tried to come up the stands rail yet. And
yeah.
We had Seb Sanders in the studio with us earlier, and he was saying that you know, the July course, he liked to come up that stands rail, and the ground was often quicker there. And of course, you've got the comfort of the rail to race against to keep you straight as well. So let's hope somebody comes that side in our later races. But yeah, looking at big field sprint handicaps at Newmarket on the July course, only had 14 of them now since the draw was reversed in 2011.
Yeah.
Of 16 or more runners, and four of those 14 were won by stalls 1, 2 or 3.
Right.
And prior to today's race, those drawn 14 or higher had a combined record of 0-65. So that's about 0-70-odd now. And of course, that was the favourite today, Tanin, in stall 14. So we should perhaps keep an eye on the runner-up who came from stall 19, Priceless from the Clive Cox yard. Wears the same colours as Profitable, because it's done so well this year.
Yeah. Good stuff. Interesting. Anything else you take out from day one then before we get stuck into day two?
Yeah, just a note to self, never to back prize money again. I've made excuses for his three second places prior to today, but he was very disappointing in the Bahrain Trophy, even allowing for the step up in trip, and I'll be giving him the swerve from now on.
Okay, well, good stuff. Let's leave that there. We'll move on to Friday's instalment, then day two of the July meeting. We'll get Andrew's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Friday's racing. We've got good racing to look forward to at Newmarket and York in particular. Also good stuff at Ascot, Musselburgh as well in the afternoon, and Chepstow and Chester in the evening. So, real busy day. We're going to focus on the best of the action at Newmarket and York. And we start in the 255 at York, which is a handicap, class 3 handicap over 5 furlongs. It's for the 3-year-olds and older. And a field of 19 to go to post here, Andrew. It's not the easiest puzzle to solve.
Yeah, a minefield, I think, is the word you're looking for there, Mark. But yeah, it's interesting because traditionally I've liked to go with sort of middle to high draws in big field sprint handicaps at York. But this season we've had 5 sprint handicaps of 15 or more runners, and the winners have come from stalls 5 of 18, 4 of 17, 9 of 15, 3 of 19 and 2 of 17, suggesting a low bias. Mm. Although on drier ground, which the going stick rating says quicker down the centre, perhaps we're going to see the sort of middle to high numbers come back into it. And the pace from this race as well seems to be concentrated middle to high.
Right.
And I'm going to stick with Thesme in this particular race. And this one's got could be a good draw in stall 14. And it's got a fantastic record in handicap company. 6 runs, 3 wins, a second, a third and a fourth. And the fourth was easily forgiven because it came too soon, just 5 days after her previous run. She ran an absolute blinder last time out at Musselburgh when second of 17 behind Hoofalong. She was badly drawn in stall 4 that day. The winner was drawn in 16 and the third, fourth and fifth were also drawn high. She's got up £2 for that, but Rachel Richardson takes off a handy £5, and she's only ridden this one once before, winning it 7-1 over course and distance last summer at the Ebor meeting. So yeah, the top weight, the 4-year-old filly Thesme, I think is going to be very difficult to beat.
All right, staying a good case there for Thesme then in the 255 at York. Let's move on to the next race we look at. This is at Newmarket on day two of the July meeting. The 3:45 at Newmarket is the Duchess of Cambridge Stakes. It's a fillies group two, was the Cherry Hinton Stakes, of course. 6 furlongs is the trip for these two-year-olds. The market headed at the time of recording this by Bletchley, who's 7-4, Nassimi 4-1, Roly Poly is 11-2, 8-1 for Asidius Alexander, 10-1 for Kilmar, and 11s or bigger for the others. Somewhere. Pretty nice two-year-olds in here, Andrew.
Yeah, a typically competitive and interesting renewal. And we've had 5 favourites or joint favourites in the past 10 years. And also a few shocks, a 20-1 winner and a pair of 14-1 winners. But the last 10 winners all had one thing in common. They'd raced at least twice. And that counts against 3 of our 10 runners, including Godolphin's 4-1 second favourite, Nassimi, who's had just the one win. And winning at Haydock quite impressively. So I was going to oppose that one and side with the favourite here, Bletchley, for Rafe Beckett. This one was 25-1 on debut at Nottingham in June, but still managed to win, scoring by a neck from one of John Gosden's and pulling over 2 lengths clear of the third. And, you know, clearly the starting price of 25-1 suggests wasn't particularly expected that day, and then went to Royal Ascot for our next start. Ran an absolute blinder in the Albany Stakes, going down by a short head to Brave Anna. Now, the 3 highest drawn horses in that race finished 1st, 3rd, and 4th, whereas Bletchley was stuck out a bit wider in stall 4 and was clear best of those who were drawn low. You could argue that had she been drawn closer to the stand rail like the others, then perhaps she would have won. But it was a good effort either way, and the speed figure she recorded for both her previous runs is better than anything else has run in this race previously, so I think Bletchley, the current 7-4 favourite, is going to be very difficult to beat.
Bletchley then looks difficult to beat in the 3:45 at Newmarket. Nipping back to the Knavesmire now for the 4 o'clock at York. This is the Summer Stakes, which is a fillies group 3 over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. A field of 8 here. Larioca heads the market at 9-4, Mayfair Lady 3-1, Bashara 100-30, Divine is 6-1. It's 9-1 for Spangled and 10-1 on bigger prices for the others. What do you make of this one, Andrew?
Yeah, tricky. It's not been so easy to find the winner in this race. In the last 10 years, we've only had one clear favourite and one joint favourite. And last time out, winners have also struggled. Only one of them has won. And in fact, no less than 8 of the last 10 winners finished 5th or worst on their latest start. So it's not always one for the obvious. I'm going to side with the William Haggis 3-year-old Beshara in this race. This one's been running over a mile of late. Ran a good 4th in the French 1000 Guineas in May, and then followed that with a 10th place at Royal Ascot, when again not really seeing out the 1 mile trip in the Coronation Stakes. She was a 16-1 shot that day, and will be suited by the return to sprinting. She's only had 3 runs on turf below Group 2 level, and she's won all of them. The last one of those coming at Ascot in a Group 3 at this time last year. So she tends to peak in the summer months, and I think now that she's back at a sprint trip and also got cheek pieces on for the first time, I think that can bring about a bit of improvement.
Yeah, Bashara then, the selection for Andrew there, obviously has had a good time of things at York in the past, hasn't she? She's won the Lowther here, so...
That's right.
So, good for her.
Yeah, I think William Haggis is profitable to back blind at this particular track, and the yard's in very good form at the moment.
Mm. All right, so it's Bashara for Andrew in the 4 o'clock at York, and we finish off in the big race of the day, the Falmouth Stakes, a fillies Group 1 over a mile. It's part of the British Champion Series as well. It's for 3-year-olds and older. Field of 8 here, and the market headed by Usherette, who's 4-6. 6-1 for Amazing Maria. Alice Springs is 6-1, 8-1 for Aura Smile. Very Special 14s, 25-1 for Irish Rookie, and Shadahan is also 25-1. I said 8, there's actually a field of 7 because Euro Charlene is not only out of the race, has been retired.
Been retired, unfortunately, so that's scuppered the the each way angle, I guess, but. Yeah, I mean, Usherette was incredibly impressive at Royal Ascot, winning the Duke of Cambridge Stakes by 2.25 lengths, sort of eased down in the closing stages. And I was very impressed with her the time before as well, when she won at Newmarket on the Roly Mile course, because it was very hard to come from off the pace that day. And she did really well to come from well back and overhaul Arabian Queen in the closing stages. But my concern again with this race is the ground. It's going to be a lot quicker than she's encountered previously. And although she's won six of her seven starts, the only defeat did come in Group 1 company, the only time she's tackled that level. And you throw in the likely lack of early pace in this race as well, and I think it's ripe for an upset. So there were a couple that interest me. My main pick is the Godolphin four-year-old Derry Special. Now, this one was only second in a Kempton-listed race on her last British start, but she's improved in Maidan since then. She won twice in Group 2 company over a mile and nine furlongs, before only going down by three lengths when 6 of 15 in a Group 1. And interestingly, two runs ago, she beat Euro Charlene by 2.5 lengths. And of course, Euro Charlene was second in this race last year. Now, you look at her running styles, her last three starts, she's been described as track leader, led three furlongs out. The time before that, soon led, kicked clear three furlongs out. And before that, soon led. Now, there's nothing else in this race that likes to race up with the pace. Most of them are exaggerated hold-up horses. And I think Derry Special can nick this one on her first start since March. But the other one worthy of mention as well is last year's winner, Amazing Maria. Got a great record at this time of year on decent going. In July or August, from seven furlongs to a mile, she's had four starts and she's won them all. Could never get into contention at Ascot last time on soft going, finishing sixth to Teppin. But that was still a pretty good effort at 20-1. And if she can race a little closer to the pace this time, then perhaps she can chase Derry Special home. But I'll take those two against the odds-on favourite, Usherette.
Okay, a couple against the favourite there then. Very Special and Amazing Maria. Let's have a little bit of a summary then, Andrew, before you go, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections for Friday then.
Right, in the big field sprint handicap at York, the 255, I'm going for top weight Thesme, who can give Rachel Richardson another winner. We're then on to Newmarket for the Duchess of Cambridge Stakes, the race formerly known as the Cherry Hinton. I'm going for the current favourite, Bletchley. Then we're back on the Knavesmire for the 4 o'clock, the 6 furlong Group 3 Summer Stakes for fillies and mares. And in this one, I'm going with Beshara. And then finally, back at Newmarket for the big race, the Falmouth Stakes, I'm taking on the odds-on favourite Usherette with Very Special and Amazing Maria, priced at 14-1 and 6-1 respectively at the time of this recording.
Superb. Good work, Andrew. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Mark.
Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
Thank you.
There you go, the thoughts of Andrew Mount on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Luke Elder, James Millman and Paddy Aspel in the studio. It's day two of the July Festival at Newmarket. Good racing to look forward to there, obviously. Good card at York as well. Ascot and Musselburgh alongside that, so a busy old Friday afternoon and into the evening. Chepstow and Chester on the domestic front and Cork and Navan over in Ireland. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.